You're listening to Qalam Institute's podcast. Visit us on the web at qalaminstitute.org and join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Qalam Institute.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa la aqibatu lil muttaqeen, wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidi al mursaleen, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, wa ba'd. Qala Allahu azza wa jal fi kitabihi al majeed, ba'da a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajeem, hafidhu ala salawati wa salati al-wusta. This is the ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حَافِظُوا عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ وَالصَّلَاةِ الْوُسْطَى وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. That to once again briefly just translate, and then I'll get into the meaning of it properly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, safeguard over your prayers, وَالصَّلَاةِ الْوُسْطَى, and particularly the middle prayer or the best prayer. وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ, and stand in prayer for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the state of being completely submissive and obedient to Allah. And this is what the ayah translates as briefly. What I wanted to talk about, typically whenever this ayah is mentioned in a discussion revolves around this ayah, it's usually in relation to Allah says, safeguard your prayers. So we understand what Allah is saying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us to be particular and to be very careful about the observance and to properly observe all five daily prayers, the obligatory fard prayers. وَالصَّلَاةِ الْوُسْطَى, and the middle or the best prayer. And then, like I mentioned before, typically the discussion is which prayer which prayer is being referred to as the middle prayer or the best prayer, the best salat? Which one is it? And then there's a variety of different opinions and there's different evidences. Does it mean Asr prayer? Does it mean Dhuhr prayer, Fajr prayer, Isha prayer? And there's basically an opinion saying that it could be any one of the five prayers, and there's different evidences that lead to all. One very beautiful thing I read, one scholar wrote, is he said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in particularly the best prayer, but he doesn't elaborate as to which is that best prayer. This is very much similar. He made the connection to the month of Ramadan, and he says this is very much like the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alfi shahr. Worshipping in the night of Laylatul Qadr, the Laylatul Qadr, the night of power, worshipping in that night is better than 1,000 months of worship. But Allah never told us exactly, precisely, when is the night of power? When is Laylatul Qadr? But rather, we're told to search for it and look for it throughout the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan. So that way a person, inshallah, that way he will end up observing all the 10 nights. Similarly, Allah said, observe your prayers, safeguard your prayers, particularly the best prayer, the middle prayer, but never told us which is that prayer. So inshallah, in an effort to accomplish that, we'll be observing all five prayers. But what I wanted to talk about in terms of this ayah was, first and foremost, primarily, the language of the ayah. I wanted to discuss the words that Allah uses very eloquently to emphasize the observance and the proper performance of the salawat. And then secondly, where this ayah has been placed. Because both of these things are of very great importance and are very interesting. First of all, Allah says, حَافِظُوا. This comes from the word of حِفْظ, which means to safeguard something, to protect something, to watch over something. Allah says, حَافِظُوا, and this is in the form of مُفَعَلَ, مُحَافَظَ, which means an action taking place from both sides. And the dominant opinion amongst the Mufassirin is, Allah says this for emphasis, be extremely protective, be extremely particular, be extremely concerned about your prayers. And what this means is, one thing is to just pray, then one thing is to know how to pray properly. First to learn, عِلْمًا, to know how to pray properly. وَهَيْئَةً, to know the proper procedures of the salah. Then to observe the proper time of the salah. Then to have proper concentration and devotion in your salah. And then after everything is done, just praying salah properly is not enough. Because the Prophet ﷺ tells us in a hadith, there will be a person on the Day of Judgment who will have done lots of good deeds, but he, in his social interaction, in his personal dealings with people, he did not behave appropriately. He used to curse this person and hit this person and be rude and abrasive with this person. And these people will lodge and file complaints against him. And Allah will command the angels and malaika to pass away his good deeds. So this guy might have prayed properly his whole life, but now his salawat are being distributed. So part of observing the prayer properly is to also make sure that you're practicing deen in the other aspects of your life. So you're not wasting your reward. You're not putting in all this energy, time, and effort, and money into properly observing your salat and then turning around and just handing it off to people. Safeguard your salat. Safeguard your prayer. And then Allah says, Hafidhu ala. The word ala in the Arabic language means upon or on top of. Meaning be watchful over your salat. Just like if you have a valuable item, if you have a valuable diamond, or some very valuable jewel that people are out to get, how you watch over it, you're constantly concerned about it. If somebody owns a shop, they own a store, they hire an employee after they interview him, they screen him, they do a background check, they do all these things and then they hire this person. But they don't leave it at that. Then they install a security camera that has a live feed on his computer screen at home, and he watches that person constantly. That live feed is running all the time. So he can check in and out all the time what this person is doing. Why? Because this shop, this store, the merchandise, the money is extremely valuable to him. He values it, so he watches over it. Allah says, watch over your prayer. So we should be concerned about our salah. We should have an alarm set for our prayer. We should have a time and a place and arrangements made for our prayer from before. It shouldn't fall to the situation where, oh, you know, it was salah time and I really couldn't figure out where to pray and how to pray and I missed the time and salah went. That means I wasn't careful about it. I wasn't watching over it. I wasn't protective of my salah. I wasn't protective of my prayer. So Allah says, Hafidhu ala salawat. Be extremely protective, overprotective about your salah. When the time, that's why the Prophet ﷺ, he was extremely, he was very easygoing at home. He was very, very friendly at home. He used to laugh and joke and smile and talk and engage in conversation, do household chores. He was like normal at home. But when the adhan would be called, the wives of the Prophet ﷺ say, he would become a stranger to us. It's like we didn't even know him. That's it. He had no time for anyone. He had no time for anything now. Because now was the time for salah. So inshallah, that's how we need to implement our salah within our lives. And then when we start to implement salah, the other thing I was mentioning about the social aspect, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an already tells us. Allah tells us in the Qur'an, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. When you observe salah properly, salah automatically starts to take you away. Starts to lead you away, starts to dissuade you from engaging in things that are evil, even socially and personally, in your own personal life. The other thing that I wanted to talk about real briefly was, where has this ayah been placed? This is very, very interesting. The Qur'an is divine. The Qur'an is the word of Allah, it's the speech of Allah. It's divinely structured. It's not coincidental. Every ayah where it's been placed has been placed there for a strategic purpose, for a reason. It serves a purpose. So when you look at this ayah, Hafidhu ala salawat wa salatul musa, when you look at this ayah number 238, if you look at the ayat before it, and if you look at the ayat after it, the entire passage is talking about divorce. The entire passage is talking about divorce. So for 5-6 ayat before it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about divorce. When a man and a woman, a marriage, a couple, goes bad and they're not seeing eye to eye anymore. They can't live together anymore. And they decide to go their own separate ways and part ways. Then talaq, divorce occurs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the different procedures of talaq and divorce and how that works. And then Allah says, Hafidhu ala salawat wa salatul wusta. Safeguard your prayer. And then the discussion goes right back to talaq and divorce. Why is Allah saying safeguard your prayer in the middle of the ayat about divorce? What's the purpose here? How does this fit into the context? That's for us to figure out and for us to extract the lessons from this. So there's lots of different things and different lessons and different beauties to this. The first thing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about two people that are having difficulty in their relationship. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides two cures or two remedies for their situation. They're suffering through a very difficult, a very fragile emotional state. They're dealing with a lot of difficulties at this moment. A husband and a wife are no longer getting along. They're considering divorce. So Allah provides two solutions. The first one is, He says, وَلَا تَنْسَوُ الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَن تَعْفُوا أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى. Forgive one another. This is more closer to the act of taqwa. Forgive one another. وَلَا تَنْسَوُ الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Be generous, be kind to one another. Because kindness, generosity will help to remove and erase the evil sentiments or the bad sentiments that are there between you two. So this is one remedy. Be kind to one another. Be forgiving. Be generous to one another. And the other remedy Allah says is turn to salah. Because our relationship with other people goes bad when our relationship with Allah goes bad. When you neglect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything else in your life will start to deteriorate. It's only a matter of time. That's why the scholars, they used to say that repair your relationship with Allah and Allah will repair your relationship with everyone else. مَنْ أَصْلَحَ مَا بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ أَصْلَحَ اللَّهُ مَا بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Allah will fix your relationship with other people. So first strengthen your relationship with Allah. So this is the first thing. The second thing, the reason why Allah mentions this here is as a warning, as a reminder. And He's rebuking these two people that are going through this difficulty. This husband and wife, this man and woman. And He's also warning all the rest of us that when a person neglects the rights of Allah, he cannot be trusted to fulfill the rights of people. When a person will neglect the rights of Allah, how can he be trusted to fulfill the rights of people? When he no longer is careful or cautious about how he deals with Allah, his Lord, his Master, his Creator, his Sustainer, the one who controls everything. When he no longer cares about how he deals with Allah, why will he care about anyone else? When the fear of Allah is gone, when that taqwa is gone, then that person won't care about anything else. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, about this, he used to say very, very eloquently, إِذَا كَانَ الْمَرْءُ لِلصَّلَاةِ مُضِيعًا فَلِغَيْرِهَا أَضِيعًا. When he says, Umar radiallahu anhu says that when a person begins neglecting his salah, he'll become even more neglectful towards everything else. Because if he can't take care of salah, he can't take care of anything else. فَمَنْ لَيْسَ فِيهِ خَيْرٌ لِرَبِّهِ فَكَيْفَ يَكُونُ فِيهِ خَيْرٌ لِغَيْرِهِ. He says, and if a person can't be good to his Lord, if a person can't be good to Allah, how can he be expected to be good to anyone else? It's impossible. And that's why Umar radiallahu anhu, who did he used to pick as governors and chiefs and leaders of different groups of people in different areas? He used to appoint the people whom he used to observe being very particular, very careful about their salah. One time he appointed a person in charge of a certain department, and someone came and said that person's a freed slave, and we're not sure what his educational background is, and are you sure he's qualified for the position? Umar radiallahu anhu said, I've noticed this man, he observes his salah very particularly, 5 times a day in the masjid, and he recites Quran every single day with a regular schedule. This person can take care of any responsibility you've taken. This is the attitude. The Prophet ﷺ, salah was dear to him than everything else. So this is a very beautiful lesson from this place here in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, guard your prayer, safeguard your salah, become particular about your salah, everything else in your life will begin to fall into place. Salah will discipline you. Imagine trying to pray 5 times a day as soon as the time comes in with all the proper etiquettes of salah and in the masjid as much as possible. If you have the discipline in order to schedule all of this and observe all of this and take care of all of this, there's nothing that you can't do. And then on a side note, going back to the original topic, in terms of marriage, how can salah even improve a marriage? This is very important for us to learn as well. There's plenty of married individuals here. There might be younger people who aren't married, but inshallah one day we'll be married. Salah from now should become a focal point of all of our lives, from here on out. And how can salah even improve the marriage of a person? The scholars list a few different qualities that salah helps a person develop. The first one is that salah helps to discipline a person, like I mentioned. It creates discipline. It basically makes a person adapt to a schedule. And this is very important in terms of even maintaining a family. You have to be disciplined. You have to be able to maintain the schedule in order to fulfill the rights of the family members. The second thing is that salah refreshes a person. It revitalizes a person. It, 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 It rejuvenates a person's spirit and his mind and his soul. And so sometimes it happens. People are people. They start to kind of get frustrated with one another. They even start to kind of grow tired of one another. When that begins to occur, salah is a way we rejuvenate ourselves. We refresh ourselves. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ says, the coolness of my eyes has been put in salah. And there's an analogy here. There's some imagery here. In the desert, imagine being out in the hot burning desert with the hot wind blowing and how it would burn your eyes and dry your eyes out. And then imagine splashing cold water into your eyes. How it would refresh you and rejuvenate you. That's what the salah does. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said. He used to get from salah. So salah can refresh us so that we're able to deal with the day-to-day situations that having a family brings. The other thing is, in order to connect with our family members, we first have to make sure that we are connected to Allah. It helps, salah helps us build a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which in turn will inshallah help us build a connection with our family members. The next thing is that salah brings about humility. Salah brings humility in a person. He puts his forehead on the ground. He puts his face on the ground. Bows before Allah. Subjects himself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This removes the arrogance from a person. And one thing that often makes marriages very difficult is arrogance, pride, when it enters into the equation. So it allows, performing salah properly makes us more humble. Increases humility within a person, which in turn will help you even in your personal relationships. The next thing is that in salah we seek the forgiveness of Allah. We basically accept ourselves as criminals. I am sinful, I am a criminal, I commit sins, and oh Allah, I beg you for your mercy and your forgiveness, and I cannot live or survive without your forgiveness. This makes us realize, when we beg Allah for His forgiveness, when we beg Allah for His mercy, and when we basically remind ourselves of how sinful we are, it becomes easier for us to forgive others as well. Forgiveness is a very key component to any successful personal relationship, particularly marriage. We have to be extremely forgiving of one another. Nobody's perfect. So when we perform salah and we realize how sinful we are and we beg for mercy, this inshallah will serve as a reminder for us to also practice forgiveness in our personal relationships as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to practice everything that's been said and heard. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum.